Let's stand for prayer.
Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before Thee, acknowledging that Thou art God alone. We acknowledge today that in Thee we live and move and have our being. We acknowledge that Thou art a sovereign God who has the right to give and the right to take away. Realize today that we gather in this house and many hearts are heavy, but we thank Thee that Thou art the great burden bearer. We thank Thee we come to Thee today to cast our care upon Thee, knowing that Thou, the Lord, dost care for us. And we thank Thee for Thy great love, wherein Thou hast loved us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I pray today that by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt minister Thy word to our hearts and help us to lift our eyes, as the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And O God, I pray in Jesus' precious name that everyone in this service might know the help of the Lord today. Those that know not Christ, that Thou wilt bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for His glory. Amen. When we sought to bring comfort to the Amrit family, I had to remind them that there is no easy way to face this day and these circumstances. But it is also true there is no easy way for his colleagues either in the ministry that knew and loved our brother Robert for many years. And yet we thank God that God has promised always for every day and for every situation. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, and God's grace is sufficient for this day. As we think about the moment when we heard the news, I'm sure, just like you, I certainly could not take it in that our friend and brother in Christ, Robert Amrit, was taken from us. But you and I know how real that is, because we stand or we gather in God's house today, and there's a casket here, a coffin in front of you, and realize there's a silence there, because our brother who once spoke and preached for many years will speak himself no more to you as a people. Our hearts have been moved in sympathy for our sister, Julie. We thank God for her godliness. We thank God for that godly serenity that God has given to her and to their family circle, and our hearts were moved to sympathize with her and also to sympathize with a brother and also with sisters. And I know that in the midst of our sister Julie and the family's sorrow and grief, there was a great thankfulness because God spared his sisters. And with all our hearts, we do rejoice that God has spared you. And we pray that God will ever keep his hand upon you. And we realize your brother is not able to be with you today, but we pray that God will indeed be with him and that God will indeed minister to his need, because he is also a tremendous need as well. You know, when it comes to a time like this, sometimes preachers try to convince a family just how great their father was. Our brother Jonathan and Timothy have already said to you just exactly what Dad meant to them on behalf of the family circle. And our sister Julie didn't need a preacher to tell them how much that her husband loved her, because he lived that love in their home and in their lives. This family didn't need someone to come in to them and tell them how much Dad cared for them, because once again, he lived that in his home. He lived that in his family. And we praise God that that life spoke that very clear in their home. But I want to draw your attention to something else, because Robert's life spoke to something even more. Because Robert was a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget the night that I met him in the chip shop there in the Shankill Road, and he stood up for me, a completely unknown. And he took my side, and I thanked him for it, and I witnessed to him about the Lord Jesus Christ and his need of the Savior. He was the leader of the gang. But praise God, that day God worked and started to work in his heart. But thank God the work was the Lord's, and the Lord saved him. And to God be the glory for the great things that the Lord has done. Thank God Robert Armitt was saved. That was the secret of his life. And you know, he was a living example of the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God took this teddy boy and God changed him. God changed him into a new creature in Christ Jesus. He made him a preacher of the gospel with a passion for souls, for a love for the lost, to seek to win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the very day that he was taken, he still had that passion for souls, even for the souls of his loved ones, his family circle. Today, as we gather here in the house of God, I want to speak about that salvation which Robert Armitt preached all over these 30 years in Clock Mills. That salvation that he come to know, and praise God, he experienced in a wonderful and powerful way in his life. Because I believe that was the secret of his testimony and of his living, even in his own family. When Robert gave his testimony, I was listening to it the other evening afresh. He being dead yet speaketh. And I was listening to his testimony, and his testimony verse was Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And praise God, from the night that God saved this lad, God gave him a love for the Lord, and he was not ashamed to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, but rather than that, he preached it with power. And God used it to the salvation of precious souls. Even that elderly gentleman, before the Lord called him home, he led an elderly gentleman to Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful way to go home to glory, having led a soul to Jesus Christ and pointed them to the Lamb of God. My friend, listen, the world can't give you that. The world can't afford that. My salvation, eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. And what a privilege God gives to those who love him to lead others to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. I wonder today, do you know what I'm speaking about? I want to tell you, my friend, the secret of all of our brother's life that was changed. It was the saving grace of God in his life. He was saved. He was saved. And I know that our brother wants me to speak about your need of salvation. And friends, let me tell you, that's the first thought that I want to leave with you. The need of salvation. Because that's what every one of us need. Every man and woman. I love that word, saved. I can't understand why preachers are so afraid today to mention saved. It's somehow they'll talk about making a commitment. God puts us saved, and I believe it's saved. And I believe it's God's salvation. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Praise God for the salvation. What the jailer asked the question. He said, what must I do to be saved? Thank God the answer was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Praise God, the Lord can save you today because you need to be saved. You say to me, preacher, but why do I need to be saved? Because first of all, you're a sinner. The word of God's very clear about this, friend. There's no argument, there's no debate here. The word of God says, Romans 3, 22, 23, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care where you come from. It could be the shankle or the falls, but let me tell you, my friend, God puts every man on the same level. God says there's no difference. You can be the queen on the throne or the pauper in the street. God says there's no difference. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. People argue with a preacher and say, but preacher, I don't believe that. How dare you tell me I'm a sinner? I want to tell you, God says it. It's the word of God, friend. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you are going to get to heaven, the first step is this, to admit that you're a sinner. You don't acknowledge that you're a sinner and you're lost in your sin and you're going to hell, my friend. You'll never trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'll never be in heaven. It doesn't care what the preacher says or what they say over your grave. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He says you must be born again. The need or the necessity of salvation because you're a sinner. People say to me, but I never did anybody any harm. People say, I try to live the best I can and do the best I can. Let me tell you, my friend, God's Son left the glories of heaven and came down into this world because man's best is not good enough. We'll never meet the standards of God, for God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And there's not one of us can do it. We fail. We fall short. Every man falls short. We are sinners before God. God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. Why? Because God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, that we would see our sinfulness before God in an unregenerate, unsaved state, friend. Listen, if you are not saved this afternoon, then before God, even all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. You need God's salvation. I'll tell you now not only why you need to be saved because you're a sinner, because your sin separates between you and God. I tell you, my friend, God doesn't overlook your sin. That sin, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Pay day for sin someday. And that sin separates between you and a righteous and a holy God. You dare not, my friend, meet God in your sin. And meet God you will. Meet God you will and meet God you must. And you need to be saved, because if you stand in your sin, you'll hear the words from his lips. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. What an awful thing to be shut out of the presence of God and shut up into the darkness of a lost sinner's hell for all eternity and die in your sin and where Christ is you would never be. We'll never see our brother in this scene of time again, but thank God the family of God will meet in glory. My, what a day that's going to be when the family of God meets in glory. But if you're not saved, friend, you'll never meet them. Your farewell, your bad goodbyes forever. There's no such thing, my friend, as getting in the back door into heaven. The word of God is absolutely clear. Your sin separates you between you and God, and you have to meet God someday. That's why Amos the prophet said these words. He says, prepare. Man, get ready to meet God. Get ready to meet God. There's another reason for this, because you don't know when you're going to meet him. Not one of us as brethren, not one of his family realized that when our brother took the journey to England, it was his last journey here on earth. The sisters that sat with him in the car and heard him sing, How Great Thou Art, let me tell you, my friend, they didn't realize that in a few moments it would all be over. And their loved one will be taken out into God's eternity. Thank God to be with Jesus Christ, which is far better. Oh, what an awful thing if they'd not been saved. What an awful thing to be called out into God's eternity and not be ready. And you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There's not one of us in the service today knows what this day will bring forth, never mind tomorrow. You knew who put on your shoes this morning, friend. You don't know who'll take them off this evening, because you know not. You know not what a day may bring forth, and yet you promise yourself tomorrow. There are people are saying, I'll get saved by and by. I'll trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. At the 11:59, God, hold out the lamp of hope for me. And whenever it's about to strike midnight and I'm going out into God's eternity, call again, God, and I'll trust you as my Savior. Let me tell you, my friend, the midnight hour could be striking and you don't know it. Because we know not what a day may bring forth. You see, it's not appointed by us. It's appointed unto man. Once to die. And then after this, the judgment. Friend, you need to be saved. And I don't care what you have in the bank, and I don't care who knows you or doesn't know you. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, then you're lost and you're without hope. You're headed out into God's eternity. You're taking the journey from time. And in a moment, you'll be out in God's eternity. And if you die in your sin, friend, where Christ is, you'll never be. You need to be saved. Say, preacher, if that's true, quickly tell me. Is there anyone can save me? Can I save myself? Can I save myself? Can I change my life around? Can I turn it around? Will that save me? Acts chapter 4, verse 12 gives us the answer. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men, friend. I don't care how mighty the name is. I don't care how honored the name is. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If you're going to be saved, friend, then it's God's salvation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Say, will I go to church? Will that save me? No. I've been baptized. Will that save me? No. I've been confirmed. Will that save me? Let me tell you, friend, all of those things, not one of them can save you. There's only one answer. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I've said many times, I never met any of my grandparents. But my granny, my mom used to tell me that the night she was dying, they heard a voice, a little family, eight children, were sitting so silent in a little house there down in the heart of Arbow, near Stuartstown. They heard a singing from the room. They couldn't understand. They wondered who was in the room as mother was there. And so they made their way into the little hallway and they stood at the door. They could hear a mother singing. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around, Jesus saves. Climb the hills, cross the waves, onward to the Lord's command, Jesus saves. Let me tell you, I never saw a grandparent, but I'll tell you this. Thank God for the night the Lord saved me, and I've climbed the hills and I've crossed the waves, and I've told them a simple message, Granny sung. Jesus saved. Friend, he's your only hope. The Word of God says this, neither is there salvation in any other. If you're trusting in anything else to get you to heaven, friend, and you're lost, and you're without hope, and you'll die in your sin and where Christ is, you'll never be. What a tragedy. Robert Armand had a burden for souls. He loved the souls of men and women. He loved the souls of the people of Clock Mills. He loved the souls of his family circle. He wanted to see them more than anything else in the world. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted them to be saved. But only Jesus can save. What must I do to be saved, Paul? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because there's only Jesus saves. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am the way. And he said, I am the truth. And he said, I am the life. And then he said this, lest any would doubt that. He says, no man. Look at who you are. No man, rich or poor, up and out, down and out. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm going to make it clear to you this afternoon ere you leave this place. Listen, you can get to heaven without riches. And you can get to heaven without popularity or fame or fortune. But you will never, ever get to heaven without Jesus. You'll never, ever get to heaven. And I don't care what anybody tells you. This book tells me, neither is there salvation in any other. And Jesus says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, it's not only Jesus saves. Listen, Jesus only saves. Jesus only saves. What a wonderful thing if you were this afternoon to come. Just trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as Robert Armour did. Because that's the only thing that makes this day different. I can tell you this, my friend. If Robert Armour hadn't left a testimony of the saving grace of God, I don't care what else he could leave. There's nothing as precious as that. And Julie, you know it. There's nothing to take the place of God's salvation. Because everything else, friend, you've got to leave it behind. But thank God when you're saved, God's given you something wonderful. He's given you eternal life. And you'll never perish. Neither shall any pluck you out of his hand. You need to be saved, friend. Thank God there's good news today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad it doesn't say might be saved or maybe be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, acknowledging their sinfulness, repenting of their sin, acknowledging that Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He died, my, the grand old gospel is this, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. Hallelujah, it's in the book. You can depend upon God's word, for when everybody else and everything else fails, praise God, God's word will stand secure, because the word of God's forever settled in heaven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter stepped out of that boat that day. He went to walk to Jesus. He took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink, and he cried out three words. He says, Lord, save me. It was short. It was simple, but praise God, it was saving. He said, Lord, save me. And I can tell you this, he wasn't fooling. And he wasn't codding. Or trying to be smart, friend. He really meant it that day. And he cried out as he was going down into that water, into that watery grave, and he cried out, looking to the Lord. And he said, Lord, save me. And it says this, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Thank God, Jesus caught him. Jesus saved him. Friend, today you could have come into this service a sinner on your way to hell. Thank God you can go out saved, gloriously saved, changed by the power of a glorious Savior who's mighty to save. Thank God he is able to save to the uttermost. You say, but you know, I'm a hard man. Don't care how hard you are, friend. Thank God the Lord can save you. The Lord can save you. He is able to save to the uttermost. And praise God, he's able to save from the guttermost. All that come unto God by him. By him. Jesus saves. I'll leave a last thought with you. There's the neglect of salvation exposed here in the Word of God. It tells us in the book of Hebrews, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? Friend, how do you think you're going to make it out? See, I don't care who you are today. The Word of God says we. That's me. And that's you too. We all must. We all must needs die. We all must needs die. And every second of little clock, friend, listen, we're getting closer and closer to the day of our death. We don't know when it is. But we all must needs die. Say the Lord's return. We all must needs die and be as water spilt upon the ground. And ask you a question, are you ready? If you'd been traveling down that M6 with Robert that day, and Robert had been spared and you'd been taken, can I ask you, honestly before God, you ready to go? You really saved? Are you walking with the Lord? Walking in the light of his word, are you saved? Or are you without God and without hope? You know, some people lie to their souls. And they say, you know, we just live. And then we just go to the grave like an animal and we just walk away. Let me tell you, friend, God says in his word, prepare to meet thy God. And I can tell you, there's no man too big. But God will bring you to the meeting. You'll meet him. He surely will. We wee man in the scriptures, you know, and God had blessed him, but God wasn't in his thoughts at all. Just like people even come to a funeral. God's not in their thoughts when they come for respect. Yeah, respect Robert. You know, I've known Robert, and maybe he's a friend of Robert. But God's nowhere in your thoughts or nowhere in your mind, friend. The God that you're going to meet. The God that you're going to stand before in judgment someday. And the man had no thought of God. God blessed him, but God was nowhere in his mind. But was he prospered? Looked out onto the farm one day and he realized he had so much goods and so much crops that nowhere to put it. And he says, what am I going to do with all of this? And then he got a plan. He says, I'm going to pull down my barns. And he says, I'm going to build greater. And I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Just take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Was it all planned? You know, he went up the stairs that night after making his plans. And he laid his head on the pillow. And God still wasn't in his mind. And God spoke. And God said this, you're only a fool. You're only a fool. Because you see, friend, his life was built on things that in a moment of time he had to leave. God says, thou fool. God says, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. If God was to say that to you today, friend, let me ask you this question. God says, this night, tell me, where will you be? See, this book that Robert preached for 30 years, Clock Mills, this book tells me, and our brother read about the glories of heaven. And friend, let me tell you, after all the years of these men preaching, and men standing for years and trying to preach the word of God, friend, let me tell you, we're only touching on the surface. I couldn't tell you how glorious heaven is. What must it be to be there? But friend, let me tell you, this book not only tells me there's a heaven for the saved and those that are ready to meet their God, but that book tells me there's also hell. And the rich man died and was buried, and it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And friend, the party was over. It says, being in torment. He never mentioned he cried before it, but it says he cried. Send Lazarus that he may speak. He may go to my father's house and speak to my brothers. I have 5 brethren, lest they also come to this place of torment. Friend, you need to be ready. You need to be saved. Thank God there is a Savior. That's the good news. His name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a Savior. With us, I close. Remember a little verse, a little boy reading the calendar. My mom and dad put on it in the church calendar which we belong, the church we belong to. And they put this verse on the calendar, they got it somewhere and they put it on the church calendar, and they weren't saved. And it was this. To lose your wealth, it's sad indeed. And to lose your health is more. But to lose your soul, it's such a loss that no man can show. Thank God our brother preached Christ and our brothers with Christ. Julie, your family, sisters, you loved him and he loved you. But praise God, there's a day when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore. And when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Will you? Jesus is the only way. You must be saved.